Good afternoon, everyone, and it is Thursday, June 20th, first day of summer. Welcome to the board meeting of the Housing Authority of the City of Austin, the board meeting of the Austin Affordable Housing PFC, the Southwest Housing Corporation, Compliance Corporation, and the Austin Affordable Housing Corporation board meetings. At this time, I'll ask Mr. Gerber to call the roll.
Commissioner Bailey, Commissioner Duncan Hall.
Present.
Commissioner Carrington. Commissioner Carrington, can you hear us okay, Edwina?
She was there.
There we are. Great. Commissioner Carrington and Commissioner Apostolo.
Here.
And Chairman Ritchie.
Present.
We have a quorum.
All right. So with a quorum, we're officially called to order at 12:09 p.m. on Thursday, June 20th. The next item of business would be the Pledge of Allegiance. And Commissioner Apostolo, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So we're going to go out of order just a little bit. The first item will be item number two under action items. It's the presentation, discussion, and possible action regarding resolution number 2848, approval of award of a contract for Comprehensive Youth Development Club in the amount of $210,000. And so at this time, I will ask.
Leilani's going to come up, and I think. Some of the folks from Boys and Girls Club are going to come up as well. Zanae, come on up, and Art and your team. Yeah, grab a seat. We're so glad you're here. Boys and Girls Club has been an incredible partner over many years of the Housing Authority of the City of Austin. Zanae is a still newish CEO, and we're delighted to have the opportunity to work with her. And many of you know Art as well, who's been a long time lead at Chalmers Courts and has made such a difference in the lives of kids. But we're so pleased to have this contract coming back to the board. Leilani, I don't know if you have any introduction or anything you want to note. The board will be voting at the conclusion of the report on a continuation of our relationship and contract.
Yes, I'm going to ask Mr. Keith to pull up the PowerPoint presentation. Good afternoon, Board of Commissioners, distinguished guests, and HACA staff. My name is Leilani Villegas, and I serve as a Senior Director of Community Development, also with Austin Pathways. And today we are here to discuss the possible approval of the Boys and Girls Club Resolution Number 02848. And I'm waiting for Keith to pull up there.
And Leilani, if you would introduce Abby Bettini, who's also serving.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Many of you knew Barbara Jackson. Abby is serving as the newish Barbara Jackson. Big shoes to fill, but doing a wonderful job, and glad you're here.
Hi, everyone. I'm Abby Bettini. I'm the new Youth Educational Success Manager.
And maybe we can go ahead and you want to do introductions to Zanae, the CEO of Boys and Girls Club, and also your staff.
Yeah, good afternoon. And again, thank you for the opportunity to be seen here to the board and also the guests in the room. My name is Zanae Campbell. I am the CEO for Boys and Girls Club of the Austin area. As Mike said, still newish. I'm using my new card here, still about 7 months in, but really excited about the foundation that we have between HACA and Boys and Girls Club. And so just know that we'll continue to grow and appreciate opportunities such as these to continue to develop and enhance on the partnership that we have. Today we have two of our team members here that are integral to the success of the programming between Booker T. Washington, Chalmers, and Middlebrook. And so I'll let Art, if you want to introduce yourself first.
Hello, my name is Art Castillo, and I am one of the Director of Club Operations for the Boys and Girls Club.
Hi, everyone. I'm Sydney Trevino, and I oversee Booker T., Chalmers, and Meadowbrook as their club director.
Next slide, please. Okay, thank you. We're going to start with Just a little bit of history. HACA has contracted the Boys and Girls Club. This has been a very long-standing partnership and successful youth educational success program since 2008. Just as mentioned, they do serve families and youth in three of our properties, Meadowbrook, Booker T. Washington, and Chalmers. For this contract amount from last year, there is going to be a $10,000 increase due to the fact that we're opening the new Chalmers West. So we have increased for the proposal from $200,000 to $210,000, and this multi-year contract award is now going to be the renewal for the next 5 years.
All right, and just as a reminder, some program highlights. Our Boys and Girls Clubs are serving youth in K through 12. They're providing out-of-school time programming during the school year and during summer months. And they focus on building academic skills, social and interpersonal skills, and fostering positive connection with caring adults. We're really fortunate to have them on our HACA sites because we know that so many youth across the country don't have access to those vital after-school and out-of-school time programs. And just a little overview of our bidding and procurement process. A request for proposals was issued on January the 25th of 2024 with a deadline of February 27th. The RFP was posted on the e-procurement marketplace. 26 entities downloaded the solicitation from e-procurement marketplace, and two bid proposals were received. The proposals were reviewed, evaluated, and scored by myself, Barbara Jackson, and Ralph Hill. And we are recommending that the Comprehensive Youth Development Program contract be awarded to the Boys and Girls Club to serve Meadowbrook, Chalmers, and Booker T. Washington in the amount of $210,000 annually.
And I'm going to turn it into Zanae, or maybe it's Art, but I'm going to switch to the next slide.
Thank you. Again, I want to start before our team goes into the full presentation. In the spirit of gratitude, that again, we are very excited to be in not only just partnership, but in deep relationship and connection with HACA. We know that this is one of the most important partnerships that we have for Boys and Girls Club, really meeting in a very intentional and relevant way where young people need us the most. And so this is a core component of the work that we do, and we're very proud to serve with y'all in that capacity. So we appreciate it, certainly appreciate it from a multi-year standpoint, because that allows us to continue to enhance and develop and come up with the new things that are relevant to young people based on what's happening within the community, their school systems, families, and all. So we really appreciate that. Me coming in the last 7 months has been absolutely outstanding to learn more about our partnership here locally, but also had the greatest honor to be a part of the opening of Chalmers, and that was just phenomenal. And so just want the board to know again, thank you. I know many of you were there. It was just outstanding to see our community at large together, really wrapping around young people and wrapping around a community and looking at state-of-the-art facilities that we have the ability to not only double but triple the number of kids that we're able to serve directly in the one location. And so to date, we've already doubled the number of kids that we're serving at Chalmers, which is really exciting. We're looking, we're excited to look forward to the school year to be able to do a lot more in terms of what we're going to be offering in terms of our programs, experiences, and opportunities. And the kids are getting some good, really fun, exciting experiences this summer. So we extend an invitation for you. As y'all know, on your properties, you're always welcome. But come out, hang out, spend some time with kids. Come see the work that's happening at all three of the locations. And I'll leave it with this while Art gives you information on what has been happening. We are definitely looking forward to more growth with you, more opportunities, and more experiences within this relationship. So thank you.
We are as well. That was a really special day. And I'm sorry to interrupt. I should probably have mentioned at the very beginning of your presentation, we have one little bit of a tweak today. So our chairman has another housing issue. He's going to have to pull away from about 12:30 to potentially 1:04. So if there's information that you want to make sure he hears, the other board members will hear it and we'll keep going. But if there's other information you want to make sure he hears, I just want to make sure we put that, you know, to the front. But don't change your presentation, but you may need to do some reprioritization on the fly. So sorry about that. And again, the rest of us will be sitting here and we'll keep going.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Art Castillo, and I'm one of the Director of Club Operations for the Boys and Girls Club of the Austin area. Now, I've been with the organization for about 20 years now. And seven of those years have been working with a wonderful partnership in between Boys and Girls Club and HACA. Right now, we currently are in three amazing properties, Booker T, Meadowbrook Apartments, and Chalmers Courts. Our impact. Boys and Girls Club is committed to providing a high-quality out-of-school time programming to 85 HACA youth at Meadowbrook, 75 HACA youth at BTW Rosewood, and 95 HACA youth at Chalmers Courts. As you can see from the data, that there are over 200-plus HACA Club members that participate in academic success programming in the 23-24 school year.
I know that they have the data that they gave us, right, was an overall, and that we do have the percentage on a monthly basis. They do give us that, so I would say at least 25% at this rate is at least 25.
I would say.
Doing a great job, and I certainly appreciate everything that you're doing. But in terms of outreach, my experience has been as I've been an educator all my life, first at City College of San Francisco, then Austin Community College. And I know as a fact that those in greatest need are the last to show up. And my concern is that are we doing more to reach out to those who are definitely in need? In tutoring and reading programs and all that, so that since they're the most vulnerable of dropping out, that we do everything that we can to increase those numbers as well as the, for example, I started a tutoring program in San Francisco. Day one, the first people to show up were the all A students looking for a tutor. Those in desperate need didn't show up until after midterm, and most of them, as a result, failed their courses and dropped out of college. So this is the kind of thing I want us to think about as we do the outreach and hopefully increase numbers.
Yeah.
So you guys are doing a great job. I just want more because I'm a greedy person.
we share that same greed.
Okay.
We certainly share that same greed. One of the things that I can share with you kind of in my short tenure with the organization and how mm-hmm. we are approaching particularly fall as it's mm-hmm. coming. All of our clubs, so this includes our HACA locations, we are treating as brand new opening sites. So our team is scaling back from whatever we did, where we are going to be approaching every parent that has been with us and every non-parent as this is a brand new site, like a grand reopening for the clubs. And mm-hmm. so to your point, we understand that. We understand the additional work and additional outreach to really get to those who we feel like could probably have that, you know, exponential impact
right.
by working with us. And so that will be an effort that we want to share alongside with you on site. It'll be happening at their school sites as
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm.
But that's certainly we want to approach and be relevant to what's happening in the community, make sure we're meeting the needs. We also want to be, which Art will talk about here in a second, around the programming, we want to talk more about what we're offering to families. So there are benefits that I think, you know, the average resident may not know that we are offering on site that can benefit their child. And so we want to do more of that outreach where we're describing what's happening and what we're expecting to happen because of that, because their child was impacted.
Right.
So, yeah, we share that same sentiment. The team has certainly heard we want to serve more kids. We actually want to come back to you and say, wait a minute, we're running out of space. Now what? That's mm-hmm. That would be a great meeting
like,
to come back to
I would like
you
that
with.
Dilemma, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Art, do you want to hit the programs?
Yes. So, you know, what we want to strive to get to 100%. And in order to do that, you know, what helps us do that is our core programming. So Boys and Girls Club of the Austin area's core programming consists of four focus areas. Focus area number one, academic success. We provide 1 hour of homework help to our kids after school every day. We do reading clubs, and we provide a summer spelling bee. Area number two is character and leadership. Here's where we help our members understand identity, diversity, and help them by recognizing bias and unfairness in society. We also help them with their leadership development. Area number three, healthy lifestyles. Here's where we do a lot of sports, fitness, and rec, do a lot of team building games, and we also help them understand teamwork. We help them with their mental health and coping strategies as well. Focus area of number four is a workforce development and STEM programming. Here's where this area focuses on career exposure, and also with our STEM programming helps with coding, robotics, and engineering. Next slide, please. Not only is core programming important, but we also do some other fun and exciting things. Special events, family engagement, community support, and summer programming. Here are some of the special events. Here are some of the special events that we've done throughout the year. We participate in the Lights On After School Showcase. This year, we've piloted a winter clothes drive by giving winter clothes out to our children, to the kids that are in need. We also host a back school bash at the beginning of August. Before school begins, we'll be distributing out school supplies to all the kids in need. Also, if there's any kids that need school supplies throughout the year, we're able to help them with that too as well. Next is our partnership with Hat Creek Hamburgers. Hat Creek Hamburgers is a hamburger food chain. That's where we go ahead and bring the restaurant to our facilities every fourth Wednesday of the month, and they're able to go ahead and build and create and make hamburgers for the kids and their families. Next is our family engagement support. If there's any families that need any kind of assistance or financial resources, we're able to help those families with rent, groceries, utilities, and et cetera. Also, if there is any need or support and guidance for if there's any need or guidance, we also help them with mental health referrals. Our additional community support. Here, thanks for the help of you guys, and thanks for the help of our wonderful staff, who are able to help push and promote the HACA scholarship program and also the free ACC tuition program as well. With that being said, we actually have one club member who is attending Chalmers Courts named Sherry Godwin, who got a scholarship this year and will be attending UTSA this coming fall. Beep, beep. Last is our summer programming. We have a 9-week summer program that is Monday through Friday, 7:30 in the morning to 5:30 p.m., that has weekly themes of STEM, arts, sports, health and wellness, and so forth. Some other things that we throw into our summer program is we host teen nights, we'll have a PBS week, we'll also have a Boys and Girls Club week, and our actual spelling bee. But one of the fun things that the kids like to enjoy and do is actually take field trips to our home club facility base. So when it comes to field trips, when we ask the kids, where do you want to go? The number one thing that they say is we want to go to home club. One of the most field trips that we recently had we had over 30 plus kids participate in our Jamal Charles and Friends football clinic. That happened at the beginning of our summer this year. Those kids got an opportunity to do football agility drills, play games and scrimmage with other club members from other clubs, and actually got to meet Jamal Charles himself. What a great opportunity. Now, testimonials and parent feedback is always great for us. We recently pushed out a parent survey, and here's what some of the families had to say. Meadowbrook, Miss Michaela is absolutely amazing. She is a great coach and mentor for our children. Ms. Michaela is our program manager for Meadowbrook. BTW, I am highly satisfied with the services of the Boys and Girls Club, especially that BTW and Chalmers provides. Thank you for being the front and center for pouring so much TLC into our little ones. Chalmers, I am very grateful to the teachers at the Chalmers Club as they do an excellent job with the children. My son feels happy going to the club every day, and I feel calm because he is safe. Now, together, Hockum Boys and Girls Club of the Austin area can bridge those opportunity gaps and increase the access for our underserved youth across the Hockum communities in the Austin area by providing targeted academic outreach, mentoring youth on good character and citizenship, promoting healthy lifestyles, and guiding youth toward the success of the 21st century workforce. We empower all club members to achieve positive outcomes in school and also in life. This concludes our presentation, and we hope to continue the partnership between Boys and Girls Club and Haka.
So with that and the procurement process that went through Nora Velasco and also Austin Pathway staff and the evaluations, Austin Pathway staff recommends for the board to approve resolution number 02848 for the contract of $210,000 awarded to the Boys and Girls Club of the Austin area. Thank you.
So I've got to leave. Somebody asked Tara to take over as the chair. Show me voting aye on the contract. I just want to say congratulations. You all are doing a great job. I just shared with Mike an article from the newspaper in my hometown where I grew up in Wichita Falls. And I just shared with Zadania that the Public Housing Authority where I grew up, they have entered into a partnership with the Boys and Girls Club there, which is kind of unique because when I grew up, the Boys Club was downtown, the Girls Club was on the east side, and so they're bringing them together as one, and they're partnering with the Housing Authority to put their facility on the east, to combine it, put them on the east side, and put them at one of their public housing authorities. I was sharing with Mike, and he was kind of surprised that they provided 20,000 square feet of space, which is a pretty large facility, but they do a lot of things, and when I was a kid, it was mostly sports, keep us out of trouble. But I wasn't really a Boys Club guy. I was a YMCA guy because that was in the neighborhood. But I'm proud to see that we're leading in this area, that others are following this lead. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, before the chairman leaves, can I ask one other quick question? Sure. We would love to obviously see this partnership grow. And obviously you all have had to think about, thought about ways to grow it as well. I wonder if you'd highlight maybe one or two things that you all are thinking about, and Leilani, you may want to jump in as well, just to lay a marker for future budget years, or if we want to expand program and numbers of kids served through a budget amendment potentially. There's a lot of need out there, and I know you all see it and all the front lines of it.
No, thank you, Mike, for that. And it is spot on in terms of where we're at for our organization in terms of we want to serve young people who need it the most, and we know that there is a huge opportunity gap that exists in the Austin area for kids who need us the most to have safe, affordable child care, basically. And so we want to be able to meet that need, and we feel Boys and Girls Club is primed and ready to do that, and particularly for communities that are underserved, that we feel like we have a niche to be able to serve in that way and create experiences and opportunities for young people and the families. In terms of growth, it is definitely growth in locations, number of sites, more children meeting the need of families, but it's also in deepening the impact that we have, and I think that's kind of where you were at in terms of serve more kids, but also to deepen that experience. We see ourselves growing in opportunities that expand across our four areas that are talked about, but particularly in our workforce space, that we really want to capture back those older youth, those teenage youth, because we know that's also the space where, if not involved in something, it can lead into going down the wrong path. And so we really want to shape opportunities for them. So please, as you think about it, think of it in terms of growing across our city, but also deepening the impact that's happening on site. And we see y'all as great partners with the deepening in terms of the more we understand about what's happening in the community and what the needs are in the community, the more we're able to develop those resources and supports to meet that, to empower our children, empower the families, to all be agents of change for this. So,
I think it'd be great as we're redeveloping other future sites is to look at the space, right? That's kind of like how Chalmers started. We thought about the space and then we provided the programming. So I know it's future down the road, but that's something that can be another area of opportunity to explore to make sure that not only we already have the partnership, in order to multiply that is we have to look at the space. And the larger the space, the more kids we can serve. So we're really happy about Chalmers West, because where we were back when Chalmers was to where it was now, I mean, it's such a huge improvement, and the kids are, I think it really created that incentive and that excitement, and we want to keep bringing that excitement to our communities moving forward.
No, I think we're absolutely delighted with the space at Chalmers, and we certainly want to see increased space at our other properties as well. Another thing that I was thinking about, and I will ask you to think about, is the role that parents play in the success of the children. At ACC, when I was administrator there before I retired, I would often have summer youth academies, and I would have the parent, I had a parent academy. And what that allowed me to do was, especially at the Eastview campus, which is across from BTW, take the parents to the various programs that they offer. So it was like a field trip. And I would say the field trip that would be most useful, because a lot of the parents aren't aware of all the technological changes and the new areas of career possibilities that are there. When they think medicine, they think doctor, nurse. And there are about 50 new fields that they're not only their children could be eligible for, but they could be eligible for. And so it's increasing their awareness of opportunities and career choices that will help also, I think, increase the student participation. Okay.
I think Sylvia might have a question.
Madam Chair, I had a quick question. So as you're going through summer programming there, in particular at Chalmers, I'm just hoping that there's some synergy with community care clinic, especially as back to school prep happens, you know, vaccinations and other types of, you know, just physicals. So I'm hopeful that you're partnering up with community care for some of those needs.
So we do, but we're working on the Boys and Girls School. We'll have physicals, and we will be sending that information. We don't have the dates yet, but that's already in the books, only because we have a school supply distribution 2 weeks before school starts, and then and we're also partnering with them for the scholarship ceremony as well. So we have several of those projects, which will include community care to make sure that not only do we have the space and the events, but there'll be an entire day just focused on the physicals and vaccinations.
That's great.
We're bringing health home.
There will be vaccinations at the school supply distribution.
Right.
Already confirmed that with both.
Yes.
Great.
And you all do have a clinic, so you know, for the younger ones, sealants and things before those cavities start coming in, so preventive is much cheaper.
Yeah, that's a good
right.
point.
Mm-hmm. And along the lines of future developments, what would be helpful is if the Boys and Girls Club has sort of minimum square footage and other standards when looking for future space. That would be helpful to have as we work with our architects. Thanks.
Any other questions or comments?
Can I ask two more?
If not...
Commissioner, Madam Chair, can I ask two more questions?
Yes, sorry.
I'd like to ask Art, and I'm sorry, is it Sydney?
Mm-hmm.
And Sydney, since you guys are on the ground, if there were three things that you wish you had, knowing that, you know, there's limits within Boys and Girls Club, but, you know, we're able to make some additional... We're engaged, you know, as a partner. If there were three things that you wish you had at your clubs that would benefit the kiddos, what would those three things be? Not saying we can deliver on them, but, you know, what weighs on you and do you think about? And the second question, which maybe I'll ask Zinae first while you think about those three things, is as we think about, you know, how we target our and do outreach to those kids who are in greatest need, you know, we obviously have a partnership with communities and schools as well, which is wonderful. One of the things that Commissioner, now Chair, Duncan Hall has advanced is the Compass to College program, getting kids thinking about, you know, college being for them and getting them plugged in and trying to support them, especially those first couple of years through, you know, relational support. Does Boys and Girls Club have a pathway to college type of program that we could use to potentially complement some of the work we're doing and some of the work that we're doing with CIS or Compass to College?
No, great question, Mike, and I'm glad you asked. So, one, we are deepening our relationship with CIS. And so I come from a world where CIS, Boys and Girls Club, Housing Authority, where we work very close with one another. And so we have been working with that team. We're establishing MOUs with them to work closer. This is across our entire footprint, but specifically at the HACA locations as well. So we're exploring a lot more on that to be just really intentional about what's happening. But two, yes, we are able to help support access and pathways to college. And so even as we look at, we deem our programming around workforce as life and workforce readiness. And so that really looks at all of the different pathways. So whether that's, you know, straight into college, if that's into, you know, just directly into the workforce or anything in between or military or whatnot, how do we help support that young person and how do we support their family and how to get there? And so we certainly can help and support and just, you know, look forward to working with y'all to figure out what that can look and feel like to develop that and to expand to more students and youth in that space. But certainly I think to the point that was mentioned earlier about 25%, like if right now we're at the 25% kind of penetration point, if you will, for how we're serving, we'd love to see that start to move up. And I think us making some specific goals around that would be really great.
50% would be a good start.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I hear that. I will say, just, you know, from my knowledge in the Boys and Girls Club world, 25% is great. Like when you we see that as a tipping point to say there is some impact that's happening in a community when we're at that space. We look for that same type of penetration when we're on school sites, right? How can we get to that 25? But certainly with opportunities where kids already are living and playing, mm-hmm. that we can do more and be, you know, more impactful in that space.
Right. So.
That's all music to my ears. I love the fact that, the fact that you're partnering more, which is a really real testament to your leadership, and we'll have opportunities informally to talk more about that. But I think that's been, a challenge, and figuring that out, because it all goes to, you know, the benefits redound to the kids, and and different organizations are bringing different strengths. I mean, the way the kids lit up when they walked into the Chalmers Club seeing Mr. Art. Mm-hmm. Was just, you know, and you know, you and I were, we were talking, doing the talking thing, but they really were, they what you had to say and the impact you had on them, you know, was where they wanted to be, and that's what's most important about it all. And so we need more of those people engaged in different ways, getting kids channeled, and it's just really, really tough work. And I think all of us at HACA have a lot of respect and appreciation for what you guys are bring to the table. So I know I put you on the spot, and you're feel free to defer by saying we can, you know, yeah, I'd like to get back to you. But if you knew things off the top of your head that you think the board would be interested in knowing, you know, those three things, I think they'd have an interest.
Have an interest, yes.
A small interest.
A little bit.
So I think for us is when it comes to one of the big things the kids like to do is play sports. And, you know, we have the basketball courts. But the one thing we kind of don't have, that we have more of at Meadowbrook, is field space. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like throwing the football or playing soccer, definitely, like, we have to make our own field at BTW. And then when it comes to Chalmers, with not too much space there, we'd have to go to Kamal Park across the street, mm-hmm. just so that we can utilize that to its full capacity. Because we do have sports leagues that we practice, that we have to do practices with, mm-hmm. and it's like, How do we make a field out of the small space that we have at Chalmers? You know what I mean?
Is there stuff at Pan Am Park? Are you able to use some of the space over?
We could use that one too as well. Yeah.
Okay.
But it's just always like crossing the street. It's always, we feel is dangerous and stuff like that. Yeah.
No, that's great to know.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with the space. I love Meadowbrook. I love Chalmers. We're able to convert that to whatever we need. We want the game room vibe. There it is. We want a chill vibe. There it is. BTW. We're in that little space. We're sharing it. I would love to be able to convert it to a more comfy space for our kids. Again, with the outdoor spaces. If a ball rolls down that hill, Miss Sydney is not going to go get it. They know that is lost. But no, just space, being able to convert it to what we want. So like I said, we could do that at Meadowbrook. We could do that at Chalmers, and I love that. The kids love that. If we could do something like that at BTW, I think that'd be a game changer.
Yeah, we did a big renovation at BTW as part of the ARA funding that the agency got. But you know, there is some, those those two buildings are quite old, and there's some value in maybe thinking about a building with a bigger footprint and maybe doing some creative things with the field. We should talk more about those. Those are great suggestions. Thank you guys for your time today. Anything else you want to share with the board?
Say that again?
Is it anything else that they wish to share with the board?
Oh.
No, just a thank you. Just a thank you. We love this partnership. Want to continue to grow with you all. And again, I appreciate you know, your review of this contract that's before you. So thank you.
Okay.
Thank
well,
you guys.
Well, if there are no more questions or comments or accolations, we will... I'll entertain a motion to approve resolution number 02848.
I would like to make a motion.
Okay.
Costello moves.
Commissioner Carrington.
Commissioner Carrington, will you second? Commissioner Carrington
okay,
seconds.
We have a second, and all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, we have three votes.
And the chair.
Well, actually, we have four votes because we had a proxy vote from Commissioner Ritchie.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. So we move on to our next item, which will be...
Thank you all very much.
Thank you for coming. And we look forward to having more conversations with you.
Madam Chair, we've got to backtrack just for a moment. We're going to come back to public communication. And we do have two members of the public who wish to speak, Lacey Lugo, and then we'll do Jennifer... Lacey, you have 3 minutes to address the board.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much. And I apologize, it's a little bit hard to hear on Zoom, but I will do my best. So my name is Lacey Lugo. This is Jennifer Ennie. We are with the Apartments Concierge. I wanted to jump onto the board meeting and just kind of make you aware of some progress we're making here in the Houston market. And also in Dallas and San Antonio. So we run a third-party leasing service for the apartment industry. We service approximately 65,000 doors throughout the state of Texas. More recently, in the last 6 months, we have launched what we consider to be a voucher placement service. Essentially, what we do is we intake a voucher holder and then we assess based off of their rental portfolio or file where a good fit for them to be able to live would be with their housing voucher that's issued by the local housing authority. We are already successfully doing this in multiple markets. I'd say we probably place about 100 to 200 voucher holders per month. It's very successful. I have a longstanding background in the multifamily development, apartment industry, and Jennifer in investment banking. And through relationships, we've been able to coach a lot of our multifamily developers through the process of receiving housing vouchers. We would like to continue to expand this business as it's bringing a very mutually beneficial relationship, I think, not just for the local housing authorities, but also for the voucher holders themselves. We know that it's a very tedious process to receive the voucher, and then, of course, utilizing it is a completely separate step outside of getting it. So we would like to be able to be more actively involved with helping you as a resource to the local authority to help these voucher holders find a comfortable and safe place to live.
So, Lacey, just being respectful to the board, I think you did come and speak to the board a couple of months ago, and I think you shared those same points. And I think you all did have an opportunity to visit separately with Lisa Garcia, our VP for assisted housing, and then I think with Nancy, our landlord outreach specialist. Is there something we're missing?
No, I think we had gotten in touch with Nancy, and it was more or less just kind of like a follow-up process. What I'd like to do is probably what we'll do is ship like a stack of what our intake brochures are directly to the Austin office. I know a lot of it's virtual. A lot of people are still virtually, so it would really need to be, I guess, as a landlord liaison, if you have a landlord liaison in the authority that could potentially just introduce us or offer this option to the voucher holders. The inventory that we have access to, like our apartment buildings are Class A and Tier A areas. They don't market for Section 8. The only way they will take it is through a company like ours because we handle the compliance aspect of it. And so that, because they're already overextended with the daily operations of the asset, they just don't want to take on anymore. So we were happy to just, if we could provide maybe a disclosure document or something that you could offer as an alternative for the voucher holder to, you know, be introduced to our services, however you could go about doing it. We just want to make sure we make sure that you guys understand that we're here to help, and, you know, it would be beneficial, I think, for everyone to just make some introductions for the voucher holders in this sense.
Sure. So a couple things. One, we you know, obviously we've made the connection with you to Nancy. So Nancy will be your primary point of contact. And it's important, I think, also just to be, you know, very fair. The board's probably not the best place to highlight the business. We would encourage you to continue to work directly with Lisa Garcia. If you feel a need to visit with me offline, I'm very glad to visit with you. But I think the board's aware of your business, and we're not able to ethically, market your business for you. You'll have to do that, you know, separately. But we'd be very glad to work with you to try to make sure that voucher holders are aware of opportunities such as the type of service that your business is offering. And, again, the program is the Housing Choice Voucher Program, so we really emphasize that we're choice. They get an option of who they choose to work with in order to find a place to live. But we're glad to know of your service, and that's a really great one. I would also maybe tell you, we're getting ready to have a landlord outreach conference in September, and we'll make sure that you're invited to it. We're thinking about different ways that we can, you know, encourage more voucher holders to be aware of landlords in the community, and to get more landlords engaged in the program, and hopefully make it as easy as we can for those tenants. But anything else big that the board needs to be aware of that we're missing?
I'm sorry. What did you say?
And any other big thing that we're missing that the board needs to be aware of?
Yeah, I would like to also mention that as we bring the voucher holders into our program, our second step, and I know a majority of the housing authorities have this listed in their five-year plan, is the Housing Choice Voucher home ownership conversion. So we coach them through that.
We don't administer that program here. We'll encourage you to read our plan. We don't offer that program here.
Yes.
Great.
Okay, wonderful. Yep, that's it.
Jennifer, anything you want to add?
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Jennifer's also signed up to speak. Anything you want to?
No, we're together. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you all.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you.
Commissioners, respectfully, we would return to the consent agenda. The first item on the main HACA agenda is the... Well, I apologize. Actually, the first item would be an update on the Citywide Advisory Board, and Lupe Garcia is here. Lupe, you want to come up?
Hi, everybody.
Welcome back.
Thank you. It's a pleasure being back. Okay, let me read this. I know we're in a hurry, but let me read it real quick, okay? Okay. Call to order. The Citywide Board meeting, HACA's board meeting, was held on June 11, 2024 at 10:30 a.m. Veronica Perez, Citywide Vice President, called the meeting to order at 10:34 a.m. Veronica Castillo-Perez, Vice President, read the minutes from May 14th Citywide Board meeting. Sandy Jones, Vice President of Gaston, motioned to accept the May minutes. Steve Wichert, President of Rosewood, second the motion. Veronica Castillo-Perez, Citywide Board Vice President, provided the Treasurer's report balance, which is $3,800. Presentations. Michael Roth, Vice President of Family Rent Cafe, will be launching soon at the Coronado and Gaston. A friendly reminder for residents to submit work orders when something in your unit is not working properly. Austin Energy has launched a new discount program. Residents should be receiving a notice in the mail. Austin Pathways, Leilani Villegas, Senior Director of Community Development. Austin Pathways received two HUD Ross grants, Residents Opportunity and Self-Sufficiency. This will increase resident services and complement our effort with the Family Self-Sufficiency Program.
Lupe?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you have the amount of the grants?
They're both total, it's $400,000 total, $200,000 each for 3 years.
Great, okay. Thank you.
where was I? Resident Council Training on Elections is scheduled on June 13th and 14th in person at Haka Central, which that was good. That was a good training. Right, Mayor?
Sarah did the training.
Yes.
Renee
Smith.
Yes. Good training. Abby Vitti Youth Education Success, the Youth Incentive Trip is scheduled on August the 8th for students who achieve the A and B honor roll and perfect attendance. Murphy Rowland Workforce Development Literacy Coalition is providing GED classes at Chalmers East and Meadowbrook. We have 25 participants. Brahma Lee from Bringing Health Home, Health and Digital Literacy Courts number 6 will be graduating next week, and celebration will be held at Salinas. Catherine Krager from Stays Thurman Google Fiber is live at Thurman, and the next project is at Lakeside. Property updates. Sandy Jones reported that Gaston will be hosting a Father's Day celebration. Meeting adjourned. Jerry Dawson, president of Goodrich, motion to adjourn the meeting, and Steve Richard, president of Rosewood, second the motion. Meeting adjourned at 11:42.
Thank you, Lupe. Okay. Any questions or comments for Lupe?
I have a comment. iMoms, best conference ever. it was extraordinary. The women who are empowered there, and the speakers, and the networking, and just the love, and your leadership was unbelievable.
Thank you. I was going to talk about.
Sorry.
No. I just want to acknowledge something. As you know, the One Voice, and you know residents do get the One Voice. And so one of the IMAs called me and wanted to mentioned that they were not mentioned in the One Voice. And so I said, this is how we'll do it next time, next year. Because in the Women's Conference, if you've never been there, mm-hmm. it takes a lot of volunteers and a lot of sponsors. This year, I had 18 sponsors, mm-hmm. plus like 22 volunteers. And these are people that came in to set up, the students from East Memorial, they set up all the tables, everything that needed to be set up. Right. So that's a great honor for them. And so we're making a luncheon for them for their appreciation.
Oh, thank you.
And so the iMoms also work very hard. As Mary knows, we set at tables together. Mm-hmm. We pack, we count, we go get, I send iMoms out to the field. They go pick up stuff that somebody's donating. You know, it's everywhere. They're everywhere. Going to Home Depot to pick up the dirt for the plants. Mm-hmm. Going to look for the centerpieces. iMoms literally work the whole conference also. It is not just me and Mary. It's everybody. So I just wanted to let them, I told them that I would announce it mm-hmm. to acknowledge them. And next year that we would make sure that it would be in the newsletter acknowledging of all the her work. Not only are they getting jobs and resources and going to school and all that, but they're actually giving back and they actually work to create the Women's Conference themselves. Because next year I told them I'm stepping a little bit back and I'm going to see how y'all gonna run this conference. So they know already there's a challenge because like I told them one day I'm not gonna be here. So somebody has to take that role.
So you're passing the baton.
Yes.
Lupe, I would, and I think Gary's talking to Sylvia now, probably about the same thing. I think we can easily put it in the One Voice. We'll put a little section in that simply says, there were folks who there were so many people who were participating mm-hmm. that the list was not complete. There are other sponsors yes. and moms who stepped up, and we'd like to acknowledge them.
Okay, yeah, thank you. That would be so appreciated.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Get us their names, and we'll put the.
Yeah, if we can, and Gary is actually here in the audience, and can if there's a list of names that we can get from you, that way it can be a complete okay. write up of the right. the One Voice okay. article, and we're trying to.
circulate the One Voice a little bit more often than just, you know, once a month.
Yeah.
So there's multiple opportunities to add information.
More information.
Absolutely. So we'd love to highlight that, and it should be coming out hopefully next week.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I thank you so much. I appreciate that deeply. And I do want to say that I do want to give y'all thanks to y'all, Lilani, sir, for acknowledging that the hard work we do pays off. And everything I do, keep in mind, I do it for us residents, we residents. We want to be self-sufficient, and we want to be someone out there just like everybody else.
Well, so Lupe, I want you to know that the board truly appreciates all of your efforts and your commitment to that cause.
Thank you. We're starting another iMoms in Deaf Springs.
Thank you.
How would you feel about iMoms lending a hand to iDads?
Huh?
How would you feel about iMoms lending a hand to iDads?
Sir, I'd be more than happy to. I've tried before. I didn't accomplish it.
There might be a moment here where there's an opportunity. Maybe we.
I gave suggestions. I offered the whole role. It didn't work out. But I'm more willing. I am willing. I will guarantee you my word that if you give me a chance and they give me a chance, we will upgrade updates in a minute.
Well, my experience is no one motivates a dad more than a mom. So,
if I have that chance, I'd be more than happy to help.
Let's talk.
I know they struggle, but you know what? I'm here. I'm not one that divides. I want one that brings it all together.
Congratulations.
Excellent.
You're very welcome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Commissioner Carrington, did you have a... I saw you came off mute. Did you have a question? Commissioner Carrington?
No.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
So now, Madam Chair, we're going to the consent agenda on the HACA agenda, which is presentation, discussion, and possible action to approve the board minutes summary for the board meeting held on May 16th, 2024.
Okay, is there a motion to approve? Okay, Commissioner Apostol. Is there a second, Commissioner Carrington? Oh, Commissioner Ritchie is back. Okay. Is there a second, Commissioner Carrington, to approve the minutes? Okay, we have a second. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Great. Commissioners, just so from a timing perspective, is Angie here?
Not in the
office. Great. So just for y'all's benefit, we're going to honor Angie Cortez, who's been she's employee of the quarter. We'll wait to the end of the board meeting to honor her for that. And then we're going to, as a surprise, take her upstairs after the board meeting ends and celebrate her as the employee of the half century. She's celebrating 50 years with the agency. That was my reaction as well when I heard that. So there's cake and all sorts of stuff to celebrate upstairs as well. But
should we be concerned with her about child labor?
So we've got a lot to move through in the next hour to be so that we're respectful of the staff that's going to meet us there. Item number three is a presentation, discussion, and proposed revisions to the Housing Choice Voucher Administrative Plan and PHA Plan. I will tell you that most of the changes being made are required changes under HOTMA, which is a legislation passed 8 years ago that's been very difficult for HUD and for MPHAs to implement. Finally, we've gotten some clarification about what some of those changes need to look like, and Lisa has documented those in your write-up. But in the interest of speed, Lisa will highlight a couple of those things, but I will tell you, you'll get another look at this after this goes out for public comment, and we'll bring it back to you in September, October?
That's the plan.
But there may be more changes that require you all to revisit it, and there may be more delays. But this is at least an initial take, but almost all the changes are legislatively required. So it should be a fairly easy, straightforward thing for you all. Lisa, you want to highlight?
I have one question before Lisa starts. Is there anything that you can highlight? I mean, I've read the agenda item, but there's just more in terms of generalities. Mm-hmm. Are there any issues that are specific that we should be aware of that might change as a result of this report?
Well, I'll give a general summary and overview. Okay. So first,
Can I ask one question?
Uh-huh.
Before you do that?
Yeah.
When they passed HOTMA, I thought this HOTMA was primarily for the small agencies.
Yeah, no, it's for everyone. Yeah. So first, I'm Lisa Garcia. I'm the Vice President of the Assisted Housing Department. So I'm here to just present a general summary of some of the changes that we'll be putting forth with regards to the Housing Choice Voucher Administrative Plan. So as Mike had already mentioned, most of the changes are the results of HOTMA. And so HOTMA does affect all of our Housing Choice Voucher Program, PBRA, really everything. And it's always changing. So originally they said our date that we would have to get all the changes implemented and be effective for our administrative plan, it was going to be January 1, 2024. Then they changed it to January 1, 2025. And just this week, they haven't finalized the date on this yet. They sent out a notice because in order for it to be done, they have to have the systems all done. And one of those major systems is the housing information portal, where we submit all our information to HUD. And that was supposed to be done this year, and they're going to shut everything down in August and let us, and said, and we had to implement our policy. So I would have had to have all these policies submitted to HUD by October with a January 1, 2025 implementation date. But we just heard this week that HUD's not ready because the software companies are, not everybody's ready for this change, and we can't do it until the software's done and that this gets done. So there may be a delay. I want to just start with that. The other thing, the other major changes is with regards to the inspection requirements. So the inspection requirements are changing to NSPIRE, which stands for the National Standards for Physical Inspections of Real Estate. And that was something, too, where we were supposed to have that all in place and ready to go by October 1, 2024. I just had the inspectors fully trained in May, but they just sent a notice out today that that's been pushed forward to October 1, 2025 for full implementation of that. So things are still changing. So let me just tell you, things have changed since I put this information out before you. So it's, but what we're working with in terms of how are we gonna be prepared? So one of the things is, of course, I've already had the inspectors trained, and they've all passed the new requirements for NSPIRE. And I am having all the employees.
How many do you have?
10. And then I didn't want to do I've had the HOTMA training for my managers, directors, myself. I've gone through it a couple times. But I didn't want to, employees to all get trained in that and have them forget it and get confused. But I do have a training on site here that's going to be coming in August, so they will get trained in HOTMA. So that's sort of where we are. So it's still a moving target. I have met with the low-income housing side who also has to implement these changes, and my understanding is they've already made the changes in their tenant selection plans, but I did meet with them so that we're in sync and that what we're doing, because this is something that's different too. The changes are like for both PBRA, public housing, and the voucher program. We're all on the same page with both the inspections and these requirements. So everybody's got to be sort of synced up. So I've already met with Michael Roth and Nancy McElhenney so that the things that I'm recommending are going to be in sync with what they're doing too. So a lot of the things are required by HUD, and then there's some discretionary things which I included in your packet. I'm just going to highlight because I know I don't want to go through every single thing. We're going to be bringing it back to you. The changes will be tracked. I've got to now rethink of how I'm going to do the admin plan for posting to say if this goes out, it won't go into effect until HUD says we can do it, basically. But there are going to be a few other changes in the admin plan. The only ones I can really see is every time we have all those new project-based vouchers, which you all awarded some new ones, like 291 new ones, or I have to put those in the admin plan with the tenant selection plan. So that will have to get changed, and that'll go in the admin plan. The other things with regards to NSPIRE, with regards to HOTMA, I'll be making statements in the admin plan that we'll probably put it out for public comment, but they won't go into effect till we can do it, which is when HIP is done and all this other stuff is in play. So it's just things that are changing all the time.
You're sticking to the deadline of putting it out for review and return.
As far as I know right now, I'll be syncing up with Sylvia and Mike just to make sure they're comfortable with that. I've got most of the changes tracked, but I've got to just go back and fix it up a little more. But that's the plan right now. And just some of the significant changes I'll just mention. One of them is when we do the annual calculation of the income in the past, and it still be the same for people coming into the program, we do it projecting it forward based on what they're currently earning. But that's changing where it's going to be. That'll stay the same for initials, but for annual re-exams, it'll be looking backwards. What did they earn over the last 12 months? So that's a significant change in how we do rent calculations. Another one is with regard... You know, it's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out. So it'll be interesting because they also changed some things with regards to... I'm not sure because people, if you're looking back at the last 12 months of what they earned... and you're doing their income calculation, they're going to say, well, I don't have that money now. Or, you know, I think the original thought that it would be advantageous because it's based on the past, right? So the idea is that people hopefully would make more the next upcoming year. But in my experience, working with the program for many years, that's not the case. And so I think it's not going to really have that effect. But, you know, we'll see what happens. But that's sort of what the initial intention was, let them keep the money they earn. But it's like, But that's going to be sort of interesting as it plays out. Another one was with regards to interim decreases. Right now, our policy is we process all interim decreases. The HOTMA allows you to make a decision if the decrease is 10%. Or less, you don't have to make that change. But then they put a bunch of other different requirements in there that you got to make sure everybody applies it consistently. Our decision there, and I met with, again, LIH, is that we would just keep our policy the same. We'll process all interim decreases. Because it's all this stuff is you got to track it and make sure consistency with employees. Another one was with regard to interim increases. You don't have to do any in the current policy. You could decide not to do any of them. You could make your policies however you like. But they put some requirements there where they say you have to process interim increases for unearned income if there's an increase of 10% or more. So we have to do those. So but we example, don't have to do them if there's an interim increase for earned income if it's 10%. I got to remember all this stuff. It's not if it's 10% for earned income. For new income, you don't have to do them if it's earned. What we're going to do is we're going to just go ahead and capture all earned income at the annual re-exam. So we're not going to do it. That's how we currently have our policy because they put a lot of different rules. Like you need to do it here, but not here. And I've sat through the NAMA K trainings. They say the easiest solution is. Just do the earned income at the re-exams because you're going to be looking back 12 months anyways.
So, for example, if someone gets a divorce and in the divorce they're getting child support, that's unearned income.
Right.
So if it's more than 10%, then you've got to make a change. But if it's under 10%, you can just let it go.
Yes, correct.
And then on the other side, if somebody gets a promotion and it's more increases their income by more than 10%, you've got to take action to record that.
Yes.
To make adjustments.
Record it, but you don't have to. You can make it in your policy the decision not to make the change to the re-exam because you're going to have to go back and look at 12 months anyways.
And for some reason, if they get laid off, but they get a job, another job, but it's paying them 10% less than what they were making before.
Right. So that would be, if it's a decrease and they report the decrease, our decision is, in my recommendation, is we will do the decreases.
Okay.
But we'll also, and the increases for earned income will capture it at the re-exam. And then another significant change is with regards to assets. So it is required now that when someone's first coming into the program, this wasn't the case before, that you're required to, if they're first coming in, may not be provided assistance if the family's net assets exceed $100,000 or if they have real property that's suitable for occupancy by the family as residence by the family. So they own a house, they can live there, they have ownership interest in the house, but they put a lot of different reasons. But if they do this, then you could still let them in. But anyways, that's the basic thing. So if they have a home, some people own a home and they decide they don't want to live in it and they rent it out. And then we have to count the income earned on renting it out. And that doesn't happen very often, but it could. We are required to do this when they first come into the program. This is a requirement. However, they just changed this year. They made an adjustment that said you could make a decision of whether or not you want to do this at their re-exam, which means they could potentially lose their housing if this happens at re-exam. We still have to count the income. If it's 100 or more, earned income on the investment or what have you. I spoke with, and this was something I spoke with, again, Michael Roth and Nancy, and we've decided we want to go with the discretionary that, and we can make that decision. At annual, we're going to keep it as it is. We're not going to worry about it. But we will do it at the initial because we're required to with regards to this point. So that would be a discretionary thing that we have to decide on. This is what we've talked about, and we think this is the way we would want to go on it.
Okay. This will be my last law professor question for you. So let's say you have a young lady who was estranged from her family. She ends up in one of our RAD properties. Parents die, but they leave her $250,000. So that's unearned income. What happens there? She decides, I still want to live in public housing because or RAD because this is my community. I've been living here for 10 years.
And she's living in there right now.
She's
currently living there, and she inherits $500,000. So the decision.
I said a quarter. But okay.
Half million. Okay, quarter million. Go. Quarter million. All right. Anyways, more than $10,000. A bunch of money. That would be something. If she had that asset, if this is the policy that's in place, she could stay in public housing. If she puts some money in the bank, they would count the interest earned on that money.
Okay.
If she decides to go on a trip and just spend it all, they wouldn't include it. We'll think of another example so they can count.
If they just left it in a trust, they would send a trust and she just wants to leave it in a trust and just pulls down the earnings.
Right, that's right.
Okay.
If she put it in a retirement fund, she'd be good to go because then we don't have to count the retirement fund unless she retires and then she's getting a draw on that, a monthly amount that's coming out because you're in retirement. Okay. So it's a lot of different variations.
That's my last law school question for you.
Okay, well, that's a good one. Thank you for testing me. I appreciate it. But there's just a lot. I think overall I feel, with any change they make, like in this particular one, it's like, well, if this happens, there's a lot of hardship exemptions they can request too. So we're sort of going with the line of keeping it a little more, consistency with the policy as it was before in some sense as well. But there's a lot of other changes that are going on. There's like the medical deduction things going up, but that's phased in. But these are required things that we have to do. But I feel it's good to get it out there now so people can see it, they can comment on it. Even if we don't put it in place for a little bit of time out there, we're giving that opportunity for the public as well as you all as well to really see the policy. Go ahead, Mike. Anything else? Any other questions?
So it's coming back to us for review when again?
Right now, I would anticipate we'd bring it back in September. And what we'll do is when we put it out for public comment with the track changes, we'll definitely provide it to all of you so you can see all the track changes at that time. So I'm not asking for any board approval. I'm just letting you know we're working on this. We're going to be putting it out for public comment. We'll bring you but we won't finalize anything until we bring it back to you. That's all I got. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you.
I would say, and Michael Roth is hanging out in the back, this has been really difficult, complicated work. And we're expecting our staff to really learn a whole new way of calculating eligibility for the programs. And that's been the subject of multiple full week trainings. It's complicated stuff. And Lisa, in particular, is on the front lines of a lot of it through her work with NARO and leadership in the Housing Committee. But it's really tough and challenging. So if you have an interest in this area and you'd like a separate offline briefing, Let Lisa know and Michael know. We'd be glad to tell you the changes we're making. But it's intended to shake up how and complicate how PHAs do their business to the benefit of policymakers. They believe that they were benefiting the residents. I think the way it's being interpreted has created a very, very complicated set of challenges that we're working through. So I think you just got the tip of the iceberg. But if you have concerns or issues, Let's me or Sylvia know, and we'll be glad to connect, get a separate briefing from Lisa and Michael on it, because HOTMA implementation is sort of the national debate, and HUD's ill-preparedness to implement it that's resulted in multiple delays on all sorts of things that Lisa alluded to, inspection protocols, the new information system that they're using. I mean, HUD's supposedly going to go, they're effectively going dark for like,
they're not anymore.
They're not anymore, but they were at one point.
They will eventually, but we don't know when.
Yeah, but they talked about going dark for like 8 weeks.
In August.
Yeah, it was crazy. So, it's a federal agency with, these are billions of dollars worth of work. It's challenging. So just have a heads up on that.
I just have a quick question. How is it that they got caught flat-footed? Because this got passed back in
2016.
Yeah. So this has been 8 years. Mm-hmm.
I think a pandemic 8 years and administration changes.
8 years in March.
Yeah.
Because I remember we were at the Washington conference in the NARO Washington conference when it passed, and we got a chance to celebrate. So it's been 8 years. So
yeah, it's been a long time. And so and that's the thing. I don't know how they're doing it with. It's interesting too, because it's supposed to be the same, and I guess they haven't. Maybe Michael, or have you heard, Sylvia, for PBRA. They haven't really given you a different date, and I don't know that Yardi's got the software up.
No.
You need the software updated to do it, because if you're doing these, they're different rent calculations. You can't just hand do it by hand.
No, I don't think multifamily has announced any delays. So it's like one side of the house isn't talking to the other. The other, I guess, layer to it is TDHCA. They've gone ahead and implemented it actually ahead of time. So PBRA didn't have any kind of grace period like the voucher program or public housing. So we've had to keep marching forward because of the tax credit layer. So no breaks yet.
All right. Thank you all.
Okay. Commissioners, if you don't mind, I'd like to just clear some of the other stuff that we've got. If we could turn to Southwest Housing Compliance Corporation. The meeting's been called to order. A quorum's been certified. There's no public comment. It asks for approval of the consent agenda for the board minutes summary that was held on on March 21st, 2024. Apostolo moves and Duncan Hall seconds. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
And the minutes are approved. The action item, which can be dispatched with, I think, very quickly, is resolution number 100. Ratifying the current list of officers of Southwest Housing Compliance Corporation. This issue has come up, and Ron may want to expand on it, but in essence, Southwest Housing actually holds the ownership of certain buildings in HACA's portfolio. We bought a building where SHCC was located across Interstate 35 many years ago. And then, of course, when we purchased this building, everything was consolidated here. But Southwest Housing still has the ownership of the building across the highway, which wouldn't matter except that the city of Austin and TxDOT are getting ready to expand I-35, and they're taking land from us. So in order to pay us for the land that they're taking, we need to have the ownership structure down exactly right. So what we're proposing in this resolution is that Sylvia Blanco be named as officer, as vice president and secretary. I'll be named as president, and Barbara Chen be named as treasurer. Ron, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Anything I missed?
No, sir.
So you're just ratifying the officers of the corporation so that TxDOT can pay us there. And of course, this building is owned by AAHC, so you know, the list of officers is set and we're in good shape. We'll be getting funds from the state for a taking on this eminent domain on this property too.
Can I ask how much money we're getting for this property that they're taking from us?
So for this property here, we're settling in at $4.35 million, and for land that's essentially not developable, right? It's basically 40 feet in from the freeway. And then on the other side of the street, we're losing a piece of the parking lot on the freeway side of the building, and so that won't be usable. But we're getting
on the 10,000 square foot building where SHC used to office. Yeah. We're getting a little over. Well, the initial settlement offer was $470,000, and of course we're fighting that. Yeah. So that'll be the initial. That has not been settled. And then the house is about $27,000 was their initial offer, and of course we're fighting that as well.
And we have an eminent domain counsel who's working with us.
Who is that?
Baron Adler and Clough, Chris Clough.
But to give you an example on this building, we started at three. We went to, I think we proposed five.
Five.
They came back at four.
Four,
we
one.
Came back at 4.3. So We did well.
We did very well.
Yeah, we felt like we did well.
And the shoring up of the retaining wall and making sure our stability of our retaining wall down in the parking area.
Yeah. So we would ask for your approval of resolution number 100. Is there a motion to approve? Duncan Hall moves.
Second.
Apostolo seconds. Is there any further discussion?
Well, you can tell us about the improvements later, but in terms of if they're going to take it, the question is getting access to the building. How would employees, how does anybody, if that portion is being done, you can tell us later, but at some point in time, we'll need to know that.
We'll give you a briefing.
Yes, we can do that.
Yeah. Okay.
And we'll need Nora and Jimmy to, we'll show you the sketches. But they ensure access to all businesses, and we'll have access impacted at different points. But all of our, including, you know, the little building over here.
I was wondering about ADAPT, yeah.
They'll have access, but they're aware that it's a building serving persons with disabilities, and so that's been a big part of the discussion. But we'll always have access, but it may be, you know, we may have to go through Reagan Terrace or, you know, some other way to get to the buildings at certain points.
When would that occur?
We think construction start working its way 2 years.
Yeah, a year and a half, maybe a little quick sooner.
Yeah, we'll keep you posted. And at those times, we may move these meetings to an offsite location away from 35 just to make it easier.
And when would you get the money?
So because we are cooperating, we signed an initial agreement, we were able to get the money paid up front of the initial offer, but it didn't stop us from asking for more. So this not having the signature officers ratified is holding up the building across the street. And we just settled on this building, so we'll be getting the initial 3.0-something million probably within the next week. And then we'll get the balance of it when we close the complete deal after our agreement is finalized.
And then we have a big party?
No.
No. You don't spend the money.
And we planned the redevelopment of Santa Rita. So Duncan Hall moved, Apostolo seconded. Any further questions? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? And the resolution passes. There's no need for an executive session, and I'd ask for a motion to adjourn SHCC. Commissioner Apostolo moves. Apostolo moves. Duncan Hall seconds, and we adjourn at 1:25. We'll now go to the Austin Affordable PFC and Austin Affordable Housing Corporation. Commissioner Carrington, because you're calling in remotely, Chair Ritchie will continue to stay in the chairman's seat, but Ron and Suzanne are going to quickly work through two different projects. On Austin, we'll start with AAPFC. It's been called to order. Is there any public comment? Yeah, Austin Affordable PFC. There's no public comment. So the next item is the consent agenda, which is approving the minute summary for the board meeting held on March 21st, 2024. Apostolo moves.
Second.
Commissioner Duncan Hall seconds. Is there any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
And the minutes are approved. Under action items, we're turning first to resolution 113, authorizing the issuance, sale, and delivery of multifamily revenue bonds for the Village at Collingwood Apartments. Suzanne?
Good afternoon. I'm excited today to present to you Village at Collingwood. You previously saw this in September of 2023 to approve us submitting for bond application, and then again in February 2024 for our tax credit application. If you are to approve today, this would be the last time that you see it before we close. This is a partnership with April Housing to rehabilitate the property using 4% tax credits and bonds. PNC is going to act as the lender and the equity provider. This property is located at 1000 Collingwood West Drive, and it is in the city of Austin, city limits. It is a senior property with 174 units. It was built back in 2001 using tax credit financing, and so it's come to the end of its tax credit compliance. So that's why we are trying to keep it affordable with our partners at April Housing, and to start that whole compliance period over again so that we don't displace anybody in the property. This property has 91 bedrooms, 84 two-bedrooms, and they are all affordable at 60% area median family income. Currently, it is occupied at 93%, and we are proposing to rehab the interior and exterior units, doing paint, flooring, countertops, fixtures, a lot of energy-efficient things with the windows, with appliances, the HVAC systems, and the water heaters, and also adding some outside lighting to help with security purposes, and also rehabbing the community building so that we can, you know, do more activities for these seniors. Yes. We would close at the end of July as our timelines, because the bonds expire if we don't, and then we would start in August.
But we're talking about series rehab,
so each individual unit. Oh, sorry. Yes, that's what I'm getting to. We've hired Revival Development Services. They're based out of Phoenix, Arizona. They're going to be our relocation consultant. So basically what it is each unit, it'll take about 7 to 10 days to rehab. Mm-hmm. The whole property, we think that we can rehab within 12 to 15 months. Mm-hmm. We will have to relocate the tenants for those 7 to 10 days. We're hoping that with it being 93% occupied, maybe we can relocate some of them on property. Otherwise, we have some hotels around the area lined up. April Housing, the management company, which is Allied Orion, mm-hmm. and Revival, have already had a meeting with the tenants on May 8th. I was out of state. Ron had investors in, so we weren't able to attend. But the tenants are so excited about the rehab and everything. Yeah. And so they went over all the timelines with them, what the work is. They even had, you know, pictures of what they proposed for the community rooms and, like, the flooring and the countertops and stuff.
Sounds very good.
And so after that meeting, they scheduled one-on-one meetings with all of the tenants to find out, you know, what type of special needs they have in relocating. Mm-hmm. Again, 60 days before, because we'll do them in like little little pockets, you know. Mm-hmm. And so, again, those that are down the road, we'll meet again with them at 60 days prior to when we rehab. Mm-hmm. And then another 30 days prior to rehab, we'll remind them a week before they'll get a final notice. We do have movers that are going to go in and pack everything for them. And if they want to pack themselves, then we'll provide the material. And then we'll move everything to storage and then move them into either another furnished unit on property mm-hmm. or to a hotel. And then
of these
the movers
are seniors, right?
Yeah, these are seniors, yeah. And I think they're probably even more excited about this than the family yeah. property. But then the movers will move them back once it's and they, you know, the normal questions were, you know, is my rent going to go up because of these rehabs, which no, they're not. Okay. Can they move back to the unit that they're in? We're going to do that. Yeah. I think, you know, just with the window replacement alone, that's going to save a lot on their utilities and things. But the other energy efficient things that we're doing, I'm real excited. That's really going to affect their utility bills. I just, at this point, you know, since it was built in 2001, it's time for it to have some tender loving care. And we're real excited to partner with April Housing. They've been doing a lot of these rehabs. We are partners with them on Park at Summers Grove. They bought out AIG. And they've been really, really great partners with us.
One other question. Have you determined what would be the estimated cost per unit to do all this rehab? It's extensive.
The total, I thought I had the total. I'm going to say
windows, floor.
No pressure, but Ron is saying you have the information.
Yeah, I know I
have the information in my fingers. I'll get it for you later. don't keep looking. If you
yeah,
don't,
I can.
Just was curious. I was curious when I was reading about all these different things we were doing that this has got to cost a lot of money per unit.
And yeah, in order to do a rehab, you have to have over $25,000. Per unit, so I can get you that information.
Just curiosity, that's all.
So, Susan, I had questions. I think most of them have been answered, but my big concern was given the scope of rehab that was taking place, I was just wondering whether 7 and 10 days per unit was realistic, because it seems like it was basically a major overhaul, but I'll trust you all's judgment on that. And then you answered my other question was, you're saying you basically you're moving not one person at a time, but a group of people, mm-hmm. like a pod of people, yeah. so that they can come back as a group as well when you finish it.
Yeah, and it's not going to be a large number. Probably, I would say maybe 5 to 10 units at a time. And as far as the timeline, I'm optimistic about the 7 to 10 days, but you know, if materials or something gets a little delayed,
ugly, it may cause you.
Our GC Icon Builders is very experienced. That's pretty much all they do are the rehabs, okay. and April Housing the same. So I think they're planning as much as possible to reduce any delays.
Okay, I got one last question, mm-hmm. and that is on the 6 residential apartment buildings, are they single story, 2-story, 3 stories?
On this one, I think they're 3-story.
Okay, so there's 6 3-story buildings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Commissioners, I would also note in the RAT portfolio when we did most of the work that we were doing with RAD. I mean, you've seen the really exciting, sexy stuff that we've done at Chalmers and at Goodrich. But most of the others was rehab, and we had a rolling rehab of units, you know, where we did, you know, 10 at a time. And we were able to get in there. You know, it's tight, But as they work through the property, they get very efficient and effective. But it does depend on good supply lines and knowing what you're getting into. I mean, if you hit mold, you have to remediate. If you got some flooring that you've got to deal with, I mean, that can certainly cause. There's other causes for delay, electrical problems and things. So, but they'll know pretty quickly. But they've done hole penetrations and other things, so they know what they're dealing with behind the walls.
Extensive inspections, and yeah.
So, but it's not just so you all know. We did that in our RAD portfolio, so it's kind of the industry practice, because you want to try to minimize the time people are out of their units as best you can. But everybody also shares the burden. But everybody also gets usually some pretty nice improvements, new kitchens, new bathrooms, new.
But as with any construction project, there can be delays. But we're going to work to minimize the uncomfortableness if there is any delays. It's to the left.
Keith, can you pull out just a little bit?
Yeah, it's just east of 35 and
right there,
south of East Breaker Lane.
Oh, okay.
That's 35.
Is it usually the balance? Just there you go. Yeah. There you go. Great.
It's in the Council Member District 1, Council Member Natasha Harper-Madison.
We're excited about this one and the partnership, and we would ask for the board's approval of Resolution 113. Duncan Hall moves. Apostola seconds. Is there any further discussion?
No.
And I see Commissioner Bailey has joined us, which is great. Is Commissioner Carrington? And Commissioner Carrington's with us as well. Great. Commissioner Bailey, do you have any questions regarding this matter? Or Commissioner Carrington? Just want to make sure we're connected. We'll assume no questions, but so we'll ask for a vote in favor. So if you could signify by saying aye or put a thumbs up.
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Commissioner Bailey, are you okay with the motion? Commissioner Carrington, are you okay with the resolution?
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up. And Commissioner Bailey, you're good with the resolution too. Did anyone see any?
Was that a hand in distress?
We got a thumbs up, Commissioner Bailey?
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
yeah,
she did.
We got a thumbs up? Okay.
I mean,
he did, okay. We'll determine that it's approved 5-0. We're now going to go to resolution number 114, authorizing the issuance, sale, and delivery of multifamily housing revenue bonds for Eagles Landing Family Apartments. Suzanne.
This one is Eagles Landing, which is a family property. It's the same scenario, partnership with April Housing. We did present this to you in September of 2023 for the bond application and February 2024 for the tax credit application. Again, if you approve it today.
Volume.
What?
Is it, can you turn up the volume?
So Carl's going to take you off?
Yeah.
Can you call it a sandwich?
Can you get him off, huh?
No, he's talking to us, my sure.
Oh. Again, if you approved this today, then we will move towards closing. This one would also close at the end of July and start construction in August as well. Just like the other one, PNC has taken the debt and the equity. They've been really bullish in Austin lately, and they feel like Austin's really a strong market and is turning and will turn quicker than any other markets. This one is located at 8,000 Decker Lane. It's in the 2-mile ETJ, the extraterritorial jurisdiction, so it's not in the city of Austin, but...
So it's Decker and what?
I don't know what the major one is. It's Dauphin and Decker. And so this one, it's right by Decker Elementary and Decker Middle School. And then the kids would go to Manor High School. It's
really right there by Manor.
It's just right there by Decker Elementary.
Can I show it back here? Can I go zoom in a little bit?
Decker Elementary is just right up the street in the middle school. And that's what I really liked about this property, because there's so many kids that go to that school, and we can help them out. It's a 240-unit family property that was built in 2004 using tax credit financing. Again, this one, you know, was in jeopardy of losing its affordability. So now we, with doing another 4% tax credit and bond issuance, then we will restart that affordability period and be able to serve all of these families that are still here. It is currently 94% occupied, and it has 48 one-bedroom, 128 two-bedroom, and 64 three-bedroom. All of these, I did make a typo in my summary, all of these are going to be affordable at to 60% AMI, and I typoed and put 50% area median family income. This, I think, this property definitely needs some TLC, and that's what I'm so excited about, because these families deserve so much more than what they're living in right now. We're going to do, you know, pretty much the same rehab on the interiors. We're going to do a lot more rehab on the exteriors and the community room building. I think right now they're not even able to use their community building. So there's so much programming that we want to do with these kids and stuff. So this will be great. Again, Revival Development Services will be handling the relocation for us. We are estimating the same timeline, 7 to 10 days per unit and 12 to 15 months for the whole property. I think because this property is a little bit bigger, I think it's probably going to take more like 18 months. But we are, again, going to try to relocate on the property. And then if we can't, we'll relocate to hotels around. You know, with knowing that we've got kids on this property and that, you know, the schools are right there, we're really being cognizant of when we do which units. So it's just to minimize the inconvenience for these people, which is good that we're starting in August. Maybe we can get, you know, some of these done and turned around a lot quicker.
Could you set a schedule for families during the summer, vacation breaks and things of that sort?
Well, we're still kind of working on the whole plan. It's not set in stone right now. But we are trying to figure out how to minimize the inconvenience for the kids. And the good thing is, you know, I'm sure these families are going to welcome our mover packing them, so they don't have to do that, you know, with the larger households.
Is there a history of a large turnover in this property where you could, like, free up some more units?
That's the thing with this. It stays occupied, which is a good thing. I mean, we need that, the affordability out there, and that's another exciting thing about having this property and being able to preserve it with doing a rehab on it instead of, you know, it converting to a market rate.
Thank you. The other property, you gave the rental rates, but I didn't see the rental rates to this property. Are they running about the same?
They're at 60% area median family income. I think we still have the chart in the back of the report.
So it's, yeah, okay.
So they're gonna be the same kind of across the board. You know, it'll.
I don't know why, one, but 12 and 1300 for a one bedroom to me is not. Not affordable in my mind, and you're calling it affordable, and I'm saying, how many people can really afford that? When a three bedroom, I'm just aghast at what it might cost. $2,000, $2,500. Well, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, Austin is,
that's not affordable.
Yeah, it's really expensive.
So you think about the market. So you're doing it, you're saying $1,400 for a one bedroom. In San Antonio, you could get in a Class A property for a one bedroom, $1,400.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a difference in the market.
I know. I mean, I understand that, but it's frightening when I think about it.
It is, and that's why we're so excited about being able to at least preserve this affordability.
What you're doing is preserving the existing rental rates.
Mm-hmm, because, I mean, they could switch this to a market rate if we weren't doing this with them.
I appreciate that. I'm just saying.
And then everybody that's so close to that middle school and that elementary would be displaced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I agree with all what you've said. It's just I still find it very difficult to imagine how families are able to pull this off in today's market.
And we had they did have a meeting on May 7th with the tenants. They had a really good outcome, and a lot of people showed up, and pretty much the same questions all, you know, is my rent going to go up because of these rehab things, and can I come back to my same unit? But really no complaints about anything.
Well,
I think they were just really excited about it.
I mean, it's like moving into a new house after you complete it. I'm sure they'll be happy with it.
And
with all the extensive renovations, I think I would be happy with it.
And with the energy efficient stuff is, I can't say enough about that it's going to help.
Yeah. But you're right, Commissioner Duncan Hall. I mean, there's a lot about affordable housing policy in this country.
Yeah,
and
it's
state
just
to be desired.
I just feel sorry for the whole area. I mean, I moved here from San Francisco, and I said when I was on a few planning commission meetings when I arrived that Austin was going the way of San Francisco, and it has, but even faster than what I thought. So
I'm glad we're making a little bit of a difference.
Yeah,
I think we're making a good difference, but it's we're making it so that rents don't go at the same level of increase as others do, and we lock folks down to a compliance regimen that we hope treats people with greater dignity than they would otherwise find.
Yeah.
But it's not ideal, and I totally respect what you're saying. Are there any further questions from commissioners?
Yeah, I've got a couple of questions. Hey, go ahead if you do.
Well, I just have one question, Suzanne. I see that PNC is on both of these transactions. Who was the previous syndicator and lender, and did they not want to be involved in the restructuring?
Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. I did not bring that information. I can get it to you, though. You know, we're right now, truthfully, we're having problems finding syndicators that will do business in Austin. That's why we're real excited about PNC and merchants. I'm hearing are really, really bullish on Austin.
Sun America, because they were good all the April housing deals.
Oh, Ron said it was Sun America that was the investor.
It was who?
Sun America. Because
oh,
they did,
okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But yeah, you know, we're getting 96 cents and 95 cents. I know that notoriously ACK rehabs are priced higher, but that's still amazing for the environment right now. And on our new construction ones, where there are only like maybe two or three equity providers that, you know, are wanting to invest at this time. I think at the end of the year, you're going to see a lot more have a bigger appetite for Austin just because they need to deploy that money. But right now, it's a little tough.
Okay, thank you. And I think I heard you say initially, where I saw on this one that it was at 50%, you said it really is at 60.
Yeah, I made a typo. I apologized.
That's it. Nice job.
I apologize. I got in here late. Tell me where this is located.
This one, the Eagle's Landing is located off of Decker Lane, and it's just east of 183. And it's, it's by the.
You know where the Expo Center is? You know where the Travis County Expo Center is?
First Center. I don't know what that is.
The Expo Center, the Travis County Expo Center?
The Exposition Center.
It's real close to it.
Okay, that's what I was trying to decide. And you were going through this, you were talking about it's getting harder and harder to find. Is it just getting harder to find deals that we want to get involved in? Is that what you're saying?
Well, it's harder to find deals that pencil out. It's harder to find deals that work with the equity and the debt that we're being offered, you know, without having large gaps in the financing.
And why is this different? And again, I apologize if you've already been over all this, but just thumbnail it for me. Why is this one working where so many others don't?
On this one, because it's an acquisition rehab, it costs less than a new construction deal. So we're able to get, and we're able to get higher pricing on the tax credits. So that gives us more equity to work with. We also, April Housing is doing some seller notes on this as well. To cover some gaps.
No, I don't know. That's all right. I'll move on.
Can I just?
This is going to cost a lot of money to more than usual to rehabilitate.
No, it's actually less than.
Offset the savings that we are getting otherwise.
To rehabilitate a property, it's less than what it would be for a new construction. So that's why we're able to do this one, these two.
Okay. I'll let you go.
So to help him out a little bit, so new construction, the cost is higher because one, in most cases, you're acquiring land. So that's part of the, you know, and the land's expensive here. And then two, syndicators and investors are less interested in investing in Austin because right now Austin has a abundance or oversupply of multifamily housing.
Right, and also on new construction, you've got to put all the, you know, the utilities and everything in, and also build the buildings where we're just going in, and, you know...
All that has already been paid for and been covered
there
by the previous rents, and so that's why it's less expensive.
And also, a new construction takes, you know, more like 2 to 2.5 years, so you've got more interest on the loans, and so even that, the financing part is a lot more expensive.
No, Carl, I had a big argument with Big Daddy one time about whether it was cheaper to tear down the old TEC, unemployment office, or build a new one. He said, yeah, well, it's built so there would be a whole lot cheaper, but y'all aren't saying that here.
Well, in this current market, is cheaper to do an existing, and it's actually cheaper to rent an apartment than it is actually to buy and own a house. It's just the market is different. Back then when you and Big Daddy were having an argument back in the early 90s, the market was quite different. And so property was a lot less expensive. And so it made more sense to do things new as opposed to going into an existing property.
Okay. Now, do we have any other... properties that are similarly financed or handled the way we're doing this?
Almost all of the acquisition rehab properties that we've done, if you look in your folder, you'll see right at the, in your binder, we have 40 that are acquisition rehab, that are ACT rehab long-term preservation deals. Some had more rehab than others, and some had none, but for this one, you know, there are good examples, and this is a pretty standard approach that we've used, Commissioner Bailey.
Well, I just, you know, again, I got it. It seemed to be, you know, and everything's okay. We think everything is, and part of it is because I'm just late getting in. But if y'all say it's a good sound project and there's not any goofy stuff that we don't like to normally get involved in, doing it because there's nothing else to do out there much, then I'm okay.
Yeah, we're okay turning down deals, and we turn down a lot. And you haven't seen many new construction deals come forward because of the factors that Suzanne talked about and that Ron's talked about in the past. You know, the market's tough, but there have been occasional deals that we've been able to do, particularly in the ACT rehab or acquisition space. All focused on long-term preservation. The great thing about these two properties are that they're both in areas that we want to be in. There's residents who are living in affordable housing now that will lose that affordability if we don't come in. And our ability to come in, do some rehab, and then get another 20 years of affordability out of these properties is really where the win, you know, is. You know, does the agency you know, economics always factor in. We want to make sure that we're not going to be at risk, and we've worked very closely with council. But we feel good about these two deals. But I'll give you an example. We're not meeting in July, whereas in the past we had met in July, and we brought you guys lots of deals. There just aren't deals right now that we feel safe doing. So we feel good about these two deals, and we'll see you all in August. But we would ask your approval of resolution 1144 Eagles Landing, unless there's more discussion and questions that you all have. Is there a motion to approve 114? Commissioner Apostolo moves to approve.
Second.
Duncan Hall seconds. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? And just confirming, Commissioner Bailey and Commissioner Carrington, you both voted in the affirmative?
Yes.
Great, thank you. There's no need for an executive session. We can adjourn Austin Affordable PFC, Inc. Commissioner Apostolo moves to adjourn. Commissioner Duncan Hall seconds. And all in favor of adjourning a PFC?
Aye.
All opposed? And we're adjourned at 2:01. Now we'll move to Austin Affordable Housing Corporation's main agenda. We've been called to order. Quorum's been certified. There's no public communication. The consent agenda includes the appeal of the board minutes summary for the board meeting held on May 16th, 2024. Is there a motion to approve? Duncan Hall moves to approve. Apostola seconds. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The ayes have it. We move to the action items. Resolution number 251 is AAHC authorizing the actions that you just took under Austin Affordable PFC to issue the bonds and to do other things necessary to close this transaction. So it's Duncan Holm moves to approve. Apostola seconds. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And the ayes have it. We'll move to item number three, which is resolution 252, which is Eagles Landing Apartment, again ratifying the actions of the PFC that you just took, as well at the AAHC level, as well as other necessary actions to close this transaction. Apostola moves to approve. Duncan Hall seconds. Is there any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The ayes have it. And there's no need for an executive session. We'll ask for a motion to adjourn.
Yes.
Carrington moves to adjourn. Yes. Apostola seconds. Is there any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? And we're adjourned at 2:03. I think I did pretty darn good. Okay, now we have to do it on the main HACA agenda.
Item number four.
Item number four is resolution 2850 at the HACA level, approving what you just approved at AAHC and AHPFC for Village at Collingwood. Is there any...
I can't because I'm your chair.
His chair, yep.
We're back to the
so Duncan Hall moves.
Second.
Apostola seconds. Is there any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? And Collingwood is approved. We go to item number five, which is resolution number 2851, which is approving the action of the PFC and AAHC, as well as other actions necessary for the Housing Authority to take related to Eagles Landing Family Apartments. Motion to approve is from Duncan Hall. Apostola seconds. Is there any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? And the ayes have it. There's no need for an executive session. We do have one more item that we'll come back to in just a second. There's no need for an executive session. I want to just let you all know in my report, again, we will have no board meeting in July. The next board meeting is going to be Thursday, August 15th. There will be no virtual option, so we would ask you all to be here present for that meeting. You will not be here. So we may offer a virtual option. we'll come back and be in touch. Okay.
Yeah.
Our hope would be that to the extent people can make it, it's easier to make it. There are a couple of different events happening that I'd like to make you aware of. On July 26th, we have the HACA Resident Scholarship Ceremony, which we're really excited about. That'll be at the UT Charter School.
Yes, UT Elementary Charter School.
Which we're super excited about. There are three other events that do not yet have dates associated with them, but just to kind of get you all thinking about them. Landlord Summit that I referenced earlier is going to happen in mid-September, so stay tuned for that. We're working on dates with HUD, but that'll be a bigger event that we're actually going to hold at a church downtown because they have a big space and can serve food, but it's going to be a half morning trying to encourage more landlords to participate in the rental assistance programs. We're going to announce the project-based vouchers that the board's already approved, but there's been some kind of movement on some of those vouchers, getting them to who gets them and how. But before Labor Day, our intent is to do an announcement of what's really $100 million in project-based vouchers helping our homeless neighbors and community. So get excited about that. We'll be working with the mayor's office and other council members' offices on when to announce that event, and we'll do it with your schedules. Being sensitive to some of you may have things going on earlier in the summer to try to push it towards later summer. And then last but not least, we have the full celebration of all of Chalmers Courts. And so we're still working to get dates on that, but we're not too stressed out about it because of the heat and some other things going on. But late September, August, early September, when it's really, really hot, that's when we want to do the event. But we're going to find the hottest possible day we can, and that's when we're going to do the event. But we want to be a community-wide celebration, so stay tuned for that. I think Commissioner Apostola might have something that you want to share. Yes.
I'm having surgery next Wednesday, I have breast cancer, but it's the early stages, so I'll be having a lumpectomy and possibly a mastectomy, but we don't know yet. But it's early, so I'm happy for that part. And I'll be out, I don't know, 2-3 weeks recuperating. Oh, yeah. I just wanted to let you know. And
praying.
Yes, please.
Absolutely.
Thank
yes,
you.
You'll definitely be in our prayers.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for sharing that. And breast cancer affects far too many women and some men in this country. And luckily, we have great medical resources here. And but we're all praying for you.
Oh, thank you. I just came from getting my chemotherapy shots. Fortunately, I don't have cancer. This is for another dealer, but it seems to work, or hopefully it'll work.
Yeah.
But I'll be thinking every time I go in there and they give me those shots, I'll think, well, this is one for Mary.
All right, thank you, sir. And these beautiful flowers, handmade by Nydia's granddaughter, Mia. Aren't they beautiful?
Good job.
She made them for me, so
they
thank you, Mia, and thank you, Nydia.
They match your shirt.
Yeah,
it does. She already took a picture of me with them right
there. So obviously we have some people dealing with some health issues, and Commissioner Bailey, we're keeping you in our thoughts, and Charmin as well. It's been a tough season all around, but we wish everybody good health, and hopefully over the next 8 weeks, people see more light than the... Absolutely, yeah. We got lots of work for you to do. And speaking of the people who make you do that work, the Austin Pathways team is here in all their glory. Let's take like 1 minute. Like, so, when we start, Dominique, and why don't you share, say who you are, full name, and then what your position is. And we'll just, since you all are here, stand up, Pathways team, and it's so rare we get you in one place. Abby Bettini, I think, spoke earlier. From
Abby, Ethics Manager and Youth Education.
Yeah.
Hey, Jerry Higgins, Communications Manager or Director.
You're not part of Pathways, but we'll take it anyway.
I gave myself a promotion.
That is a promotion. Ralph?
You want to go? Ralph Hill, Data Integrity Specialist.
And Angie Cortez?
Oh, Angie Cortez with... Wellness specialist at Lakeside Guest in the North.
Did I miss anybody? And Angie's going to speak in just a second, but Leilani, why don't you go first?
Yes. So today I have asked for Angie to come to just do a brief listings and events that she has been very instrumental in sponsoring at our elderly and disabled properties. And so I asked her that this is going to be a very informal sort of just a quick... updates for the board, but she actually wrote an entire list to share with you all, and I would like for her to share the list of these events. And just to let you all know, these events are sponsored by church, which is at no cost to Haka, and she has been instrumental to all of these social events that are happening throughout our elderly and disabled properties. I'd love for her to share that, and then if you have any questions, you can ask her. So.
Okay. Lord, let me. Okay. First, I'm going to start with a monthly resident council meeting that we have every month at all three properties. We have monthly birthday events. The birthday cakes are donated by Bake-A-Wish. And we have weekly bingos. And we have monthly events like this month. We had Mother's Day, Father's Day, and then July the 4th. Every month there's an event. And we have monthly snow cones and movie nights. And we have monthly lunch that they at church comes and they do a real nice meal every Friday to the three different properties. And we have that monthly capital area food box that they bring to the elderlies every second Monday of the month. And there's an HEB shuttle bus that takes the residents Mondays and Thursdays to HEB to do grocery shopping. And then we have first and the third Tuesday, there's a women's Bible study and they serve them breakfast. And that also happens on Sundays, every second and fourth Sunday of the month. They have Bible services in the morning and breakfast. And then we do exercise with family elder care, brain aerobics, and digital inclusion with Catherine Craigle. And then we have different vendors that come and do different bingos at like once a month at all the three sites.
So with that, as you can see, Angie has been very instrumental for the health and wellness, mental health, and the programs that really keep our residents to age in place. So with that and all the projects that she has accomplished, I would like to turn it over to Mr. Gerber to make an announcement.
Sure. It would be hard to underestimate the work that Angie Cortez does here. For 50 years, she has done an incredible job of working to help residents to better their lives and to make an impact on them. She's one of the kindest people, the most caring people, the most present people that I've ever met. And if you want somebody to stay there, you know, and be with you till, you know, hold your hand till midnight or 2 a.m., you know, she's there. Or, you know, 5 a.m., you know, she's there. So many of our seniors, so many of our residents have come to count on Angie, not just because she's a HACA team member, but because she's a friend and she's an extended part of their family. And she is nothing short of a blessing to have here at our agency. And the fact that she has devoted her entire professional life to this place just is remarkable and almost overwhelming and inspiring to all of us. I don't use, and I hope I take this, I don't, because I don't say it very often, but we love you. I love you. And thank you. Just thank you for all you've done here. And in observance of that, I'm also thrilled that, you know, when we reinstated the employee of the quarter system, which I'm so glad we've done, the first person that they thought of and who got nominated and who has been selected is Angie Cortez. So, come on up. You have to have the certificate to win. And employee of the quarter, first one for this. Let's get a picture here with the board. Board members, why don't you guys keep going around? We'll get you.
Congratulations.
And Keith, could you put, well, it'd be kind of cool to have it one in Chuck's face, like right above. Angie gets out of here, not to be a downer on things, but you know, right before the pandemic, we honored our team members who had the longest tenure, people who devoted their lives, and we think, you know, of, you know, we honored Mary Gonzalez, and we thought about Henrietta Washington, and we think about Janie Espinoza. These were four extraordinary women who did extraordinary things and made extraordinary contributions here. And Angie was every bit a part of that pack. The tragedy, I'm so glad we were able to honor them right before that, because we lost Mary, and then we lost, you know, Janie has struggled with health issues, very much a part of the family still, but is not here on a daily basis. But we remember her, and we remember Henrietta, of course. You know, we're just wonderful, wonderful people. Angie comes from, you know, a place of just love and care for this place. And, you know, she started a month after Mary?
6 months.
6 months after Mary? I thought it was 6 weeks. No. 6 weeks? 6 months?
6 weeks.
Soon after Mary. soon after Mary. And they were inseparable for 46 years. And even after that loss of someone who I knew was like a sister, you just picked up and you just kept moving, and you knew that the residents needed your help. And you know, during the pandemic, all of the Pathways team stepped up in such incredible ways. All of our property staff stepped up in such incredible ways. And we can never say thanks enough, you know, given, you know, all the challenges and uncertainty of that time. But you were really special. And the relationship that you had with people that, you know, dated back decades really made a difference. And people still were able to keep moving forward and to make progress in their lives and to become more self-sufficient and to get the things they needed for their families because of you.
Thank you. Oh.
So we're going to adjourn the meeting, and then I hope we've got some refreshments upstairs, and I hope folks will join us for those. So, Mr. Chair, any other comments from board members?
Again, congratulations, Angie, for your 50 years of service here, and we really appreciate all you've done for us as an organization and also for the residents. I know you have brought joy and happiness in their lives, and you've given them a reason every day to smile and laugh.
Without further ado, we would ask for a motion to adjourn.
I so move.
Duncan Hall moves. Apostolo seconds. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
And we're adjourned at 2:18. Thank you all. Congratulations again. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
We're going to go make sure that we know.
Yeah, we're going up to the second floor.
Everybody go to the Austin Pathways book club on the second floor. We'll have some refreshments on your...
Yeah, come on up.